Hello, everyone. It's Danny here, and welcome to another episode of the 5571 podcast, a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Design Resort, as well as some other Southern California theme parks like Knott's Berry Farm and Universal Studios Hollywood as well. We have a lot of news actually coming out of the Design Resort this week, so let's go ahead and get right into it. Going right into the news for the Design Resort, I wanted to start off over at the Pixar Place Hotel. So we already knew, of course, that the Great Maple Restaurant, which is going to be taking over all of the dining now, confirmed at Pixar Place Hotel. The Great Maple Restaurant was actually going to be opening before the January 30th opening date of the Pixar Place Hotel, the hotel's brand new rebranding, right? So the Great Maple Restaurant was scheduled to open sometime this year, like beforehand. So we knew it was coming before then. And we didn't know when. But then the Great Maple's social media accounts actually shared that it would be opening on November the 15th. And then before we knew it, walls started coming down around the restaurant and it was looking like it was ready to go. I actually visited over the weekend and had a chance to see it up close and personal. It's looking really, really good. They did an excellent job with incorporating the theming of the hotel into that new restaurant. I actually was able to use my camera to zoom in a little bit right into the restaurant since everything was all walls down and opened up. And there's actually some Pixar theming inside the restaurant. There were some portraits, some like Hollywood-esque portraits of like Woody and Bo Peep, at least from that I could see, from the outside on the street. So they are incorporating some Pixar theming into this restaurant, even though it is a third-party chain restaurant that you can find at other shopping centers in Southern California. This particular version is going to be special in the sense that it has a Disney theme, a Pixar theme, and it is going to be taking over Pixar Place Hotel, right? It's going to be operating not only the Great Maple Restaurant in the lobby, but also the Sketchpad Cafe, kind of quick to-go coffee location, and also the pool bar over on the pool deck area, which is, I think is called the Small Bites Cafe, and the concierge lounge food. So lots of offerings all being done by Great Maple. So they're going to have a huge presence at this hotel. And I think this is going to be a big deal for them opening up this restaurant first. So I actually posted on my Twitter account or X account. So if you want to go over to twitter.com/justaskdanny or just search for Just Ask Danny if you're on X or Twitter. You'll see the pictures that I posted of this, including the ones of Woody and Bo Peep in the restaurant with their portraits. And then I also posted a picture of their menu, which is their all-day menu, including their brunch favorites and breakfast and lunch and dinner and everything that's available. Check it out. It looks really good. I think there's a little bit of a variation from their normal location, so I'm interested to try it. But again, it's opening this week on November the 15th. It's going to be open for, I think, about a week's time with just walk-ins only. So guests maybe staying at the hotel or guests walking in from outside can come visit and dine at the hotel at this location. And then starting, I think, November 21st, they're going to be accepting reservations much like their other locations. So for now, a little bit of a period to kind of walk up and be seen as a walk-in. So might be an opportunity. You might think, wow, it's going to be crowded. That may be the case, but once reservations launch for this, it might be a lot harder to dine here. So this might be the time to actually do it if you guys wanted to try it out. Heading just right across the street now over to Downtown Disney from the Pixar Place Hotel. I also went over there to check out a new addition over there on the west end of Downtown Disney. They opened up the brand new live entertainment space that they have going on that west end of Downtown Disney. It's also leading into a big kind of lawn space with lots of seating, and then of course leading into the new entrance that's soon going to be the main entrance for Downtown Disney on that west side. It looks really, really good. It's going to be flanked by, of course, Din Tai Fung Restaurant, which now has been confirmed to be opening in early 2024 and now has signage on the outside of the wall indicating, hey, this is Din Tai Fung and we're opening in 2024. So that was cool. A lot of people have been really excited walking past it because not everyone's kind of in the know following Disney Parks blog, especially like your average daily guest kind of coming in and out of Disney. So for them, seeing it on the construction walls, they're walking past out to their car in downtown Disney. It's the best advertisement, right? They're now all finding out about it. And they're like, oh my gosh, Din Tai Fung. I love that place. I can't wait to have it here at Disney. That's going to be a super awesome thing. So check that out if you haven't already. They've already had some bands playing on the new live stage. They have a huge grass lawn in front of it with some rolling hills on it. So you can maybe set up a blanket to watch the band playing. Kids can play on the hills. It looked really, really cool. They had some hidden Mickeys in the wall. The decor is very art, you know, mid-century modern retro art kind of vibe, very Palm Springs-esque, the whole vibe of like the Discovery Tower over at the Disneyland Hotel. And they continued that vibe right on out to this new section of the West End of Downtown Disney, and it looks great. The big main focal art piece of this new stage was designed by artist Nicholas Smith. He showcased some of that and what the art piece meant. It showcased some black architects throughout California history and their kind of contribution to California architecture. So they're kind of they've been paid homage to in this new kind of monument art piece that's been placed on this new entertainment space in Downtown Disney. It looks really beautiful. It looks like something you'd find in retro Disneyland, something in like 1950s, 60s Tomorrowland. So he did an excellent job on this piece. If you want to find out specifically which artists and architects he was highlighting with this art piece, you can actually go to his Twitter account. Just search Nicholas Smith. Nicholas is NikkOlas. He had a whole post about it, talking about what inspired him and what he wanted to pay homage to with the post. So go check it out. And he also has some really cool night shots of it with the way they light it up at nighttime. Some other changes over inside Disneyland Park. Over at Mickey's Toontown, they finally opened up all of Goofy's How to Play Yard. So it wasn't closed for very long, actually, after the Fountain and Centennial Park reopened. They added all the things they wanted to add to Goofy's How to Play Yard, a few new play elements like that we had seen inside the concept art. So the concept art showed like a whole kind of vegetable fruit garden that was really interactive, and it showcased like a girl in a wheelchair playing with like a spinning watermelon and stuff like that. All of that was added. So there's like things kids can bang on, twists and rotate. Then the treehouse in the backyard, which was Max's treehouse, is all themed to Powerline and brings in some of the elements from the movie, like the Bigfoot and, you know, all of his friends. So it really brings in that Goofy movie theme. So a really cool thing that I thought they added with little details nodding back to that movie, since now, you know, a generation who grew up watching Goofy movie. Now they're the ones having kids that are coming to Mickey's Toontown. So it resonates with both of them. So I thought that was a really cool thing to kind of update it to. There was even a can of the ABC soup that Max and Goofy eat in the car, right, on their road trip, where he makes the Hi Dad soup. So I thought that was kind of a cool little detail as well, too, those that kind of remember that from the movie. So definitely go check out Goofy's How to Play Yard if you haven't done that after it's reopened. The only thing that's still behind walls in Mickey's Toontown was a section of the building above the El Capitan Theater, which hopefully means that they're going to be installing that beanstalk. And then, of course, the Donald's Boat and Duck Pond area are still behind walls because they're still working on that Duck Pond, the Duck Pond Splash Zone area, which even though we're going into winter now, they still need to fix and finish at this point. So that's the last kind of holdout in Toontown for things that haven't been completed thus far. So going out of Disneyland really quick, just heading back to the hotels, I wanted to quickly mention a little bit of a correction for our last episode of the 5571 podcast, and it was in regards to the Palm Breeze Bar. Originally, when Disney debuted their post from Disney Parks blog speaking about the Palm Breeze Bar and then also talking to cast members who worked at the Disneyland Hotel, since the Palm Breeze Bar is in the middle of the pool complex at the Disneyland Hotel, we were told, not only with the Disney Parks blog post, but from the cast members at the hotel, that the Palm Breeze Bar would be exclusive to guests who are staying at the hotel. They would have to have access to the pool area, and it wouldn't be in a public space like Trader Sam's or Tangaroa Terraces. Even at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa, where the Craftsman's Bar and Grill opens up to the pool, you're still accessing it from a space that doesn't require a pool key. So it, even though you can directly access the pool from the bar, you still are coming from a space that's not within the pool area, whereas this whole entire bar sits inside the pool area. So originally, it was kind of assumed, and also based on what we saw posted, that it was going to be exclusive to guests that were staying at the hotel. However, they have since changed that, and it's open to all guests. So I wanted to make sure I issued that correction for anyone that wasn't watching any of my YouTube videos or that only listens to this podcast and had not been updated since then. Palm Breeze Bar, I had originally said, was for guests staying at the hotel only. It is actually open to all guests, and I had an opportunity to visit it myself a couple weekends ago, and I posted a video about it on my YouTube channel. So if you want to check that out, I'll link that in the show notes of this podcast so that you can go see it. But again, Palm Breeze Bar open for everyone. You actually access the bar by going to the brand new Discovery Tower Hotel Tower over at the Disney Hotel, going into the lobby. Go to the back of the lobby as if you're going to be going to the elevators of that tower, and then turn right and head out towards the pool. If you're going out the back half of the lobby, the doors to the pool will be open there, and directly in front of you will be the check-in slash hostess stand for the bar, where they can check you in and hopefully get you seated pretty quickly thereafter. They have a lot of space to actually spread out there, so it seems like they're able to accommodate a lot of guests. If you're willing to sit at the actual bar top around the bar, you don't usually have to wait. They'll just tell you to go on forward and sit at the bar. But if you'd like one of the tables in the area, they do, like, you know, keep a list going. They take your phone number down and let you know that they'll call you back when it's your turn. Something like the way that Trader Sam's does across the way. It seemed really popular. A lot of guests were there enjoying some of the new food options and new drink options. I had a really great time and really good food experience there. It is a little bit on the pricier side. It's definitely more expensive than Trader Sam's. It seemed more expensive from what I remembered of the Craftsman's Bar. So keep that in mind, I guess you could say, although they had some really great shareable options as far as food was concerned here. And all the food options that I tried were really, really good. So I would definitely go back. I don't know how often I will go back because, like I mentioned, it is a little bit on the pricier side. But I definitely think everyone should at least try it out at least once. Heading back over to Disney California Adventure Park over in San Francisco Square, they're adding a few more details, right? We saw in the concept art early on that side where Cocina Cucamonga is and the Cerveceria, they actually had that Port of San Francisco neon sign just off the water there that never got installed. Well, we had confirmation later on, of course, that from Scott Goosen on X or Twitter, that he had gotten like confirmation from Disney, from a spokesperson that said that they were still working on that. Well, we have since seen that begun to be installed. So they've put up most, if not all, the sign at this point, at the time you're listening to this podcast. And I've yet to see it lit up just yet, but I would imagine we'll probably see that online as soon as it's finished and lit up for the first time. So if you're headed to the parks this weekend for the holidays at the Design Resort, I'm sure you'll probably see it probably fully installed at that point. I can't imagine it would take them that much longer. At the time of recording this podcast, they already had Port and then Of. So they just need to finish San Francisco. So I would imagine by next weekend, we'll probably already have seen photos online and on social media of it all lit up. But so far, it looks pretty good. It's definitely implemented in a way I didn't think they were going to do it. I didn't know how they were going to attach it to that side of the fence, but they've kind of attached it to the cement ground next to it and then kind of had poles that go up for it. So a little bit interesting, but I'm curious to see what it looks like all lit up. headed back now over to Disneyland Park to talk about the Adventureland Treehouse, which also opened on November 10th, which was the opening day of the holiday season at the Design Resort. Basically, I was super curious at how the rollout of this was going to be as far as the queue, where they put it, how they're going to handle all the logistics of it all. If you've ever waited in a long line for Pirates of the Caribbean and continued that queue around the left side of the building in between the treehouse and Pirates of the Caribbean, they actually used that space to queue up for the Adventureland treehouse. So they were using the bridge, which sometimes gets used for Pirates of the Caribbean, and then they were moving guests from the bridge into that back kind of corridor, hugging the building of Pirates of the Caribbean, as well as the Adventureland Treehouse. So in that space back there, that seemed to be enough space to house all the people that wanted to wait in line for it on Saturday. It is a walkthrough experience, so they really can, you know, let as many guests as they want through at a time that's probably safely allowed to be in the tree. The line didn't really seem to be that long. I think we waited maybe 5 to 10 minutes to do it in the evening. And I actually got there really early in the morning and had no wait shortly after Disneyland, about an hour after Disneyland opened. So I would say if you go early on, you can probably get in with no queue. If you go later on in the evening, since it does have a different vibe at nighttime, you're going to probably have a little bit of a queue, but it's going to move quickly. And then, of course, I would imagine as time goes on and more people have experienced the attraction, we're probably not going to see a line for it moving forward. But either way, it was great to be in it. I think the best part about the Adventureland Treehouse being open and now being, again, a nod back to the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse from the 60s is that it brought a bunch of kinetic energy that was really missing inside Adventureland and inside that treehouse just in general. One thing we saw when it did become Tarzan's treehouse was a lot of that kinetic moving energy in the treehouse was gone. We saw a lot of static figures for Tarzan, Jane, the cheetah, all that kind of stuff. There wasn't moving trinkets and things in the treehouse that were all brought to life as quirky little inventions from the Swiss Family, you know, Robinson, kind of setting up all their stuff in their camp with the crashed boat and everything. It just wasn't the same, right, when it was Tarzan's treehouse. And I think as cool as that was for our generation to have experienced as kids, it didn't have the same feel as what you'd seen for the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse of the past. So we got a lot of that back, right? We have the water wheel at the base of the tree consistently moving, bringing the water up into the tree and, through the bamboo pipes, which powers a lot of things like the water-powered organ, the mother's music room. We saw a lot of kinetic energy down in the kitchen, the father's domain, where, you know, the pans were shaking on the stove. There was like a wind-powered automatic stirring machine for a pot. So just a lot of movement and things happening. You know, they had the twins area, which had a bunch of animals in it and animatronics, little birds you might find in the tiki room. Of course, there was the daughter's room, which was kind of more centered around astronomy and had like planet mobiles spinning and stars being projected onto the ceiling, and it really cool vibes. It does definitely take on a different life at nighttime, but I think more importantly, it was really cool to be back up there again and see views into Disneyland you just didn't get for a really, really long time not being up there. And also really cool seeing out of the treehouse from like that main ship room, which is the Mother's Music Room. But looking out into Disneyland from that vantage point, it's been a while since we've seen it. So it was very cool to be up there, being in that space. I think they did a really good job bringing all that back to life. So I'm interested to see how it stands the test of time and also how guests continue to enjoy it. Next up for our Main Street topic, I wanted to talk about the Avatar experience over at Disneyland Resort. Now, we first heard about this back in February of this year, 2023, when Bob Iger, out of nowhere, during one of the earnings calls, mentioned this brand new Avatar experience that would be coming to the Disneyland Resort, and it really took everyone by surprise. We, you know, the idea of an Avatar land experience or ride coming to Disneyland was literally at the back of everyone's mind when it came to things we expected to see coming to Disneyland. We knew we'd be getting Tiana's Bayou Adventure. We knew we'd be getting a new e-ticket attraction for Avengers Campus, but you know, Avatar as an expansion land coming to Disneyland or even just an experience was not something I think anyone could have thought of when they thought of what was coming in the future. So it took a lot of us by surprise. Bob Iger mentioned that we would be hearing more details soon, but as you know, it's been almost 9 months now at this point, and we still don't have more details. Although shortly after that announcement that he made, it coincided with an article that was posted to D23.com, and it was also around the time that Way of Water was still in theaters and still, you know, had just come off of its, you know, its high run in theaters. It still did, was very successful, not only globally, but domestically. And so they did a little bit of a piece doing a reaction article where the stars of the movie, you know, Avatar, The Way of Water, were reacting to the news of an Avatar experience coming to Disneyland Resort. And this was literally a month later from what was announced with Bob Iger. So they did a little interview article where they, you know, interviewed some of the actors and more so the child actors that played the different children in the movie and their thoughts about Pandora, the world of Avatar, or something like that, coming to Disneyland as an Avatar experience. They all, of course, had said that they'd seen the one in Walt Disney World and were excited that they were going to have something similar at Disneyland. And it was kind of really vague as to what it was. The whole article is very vague. Although there is one key point in the article, and I'm going to read that to you right now. And it basically says this: while details on the coming Avatar experience remain under wraps, it promises to be as amazing as those found at Walt Disney World Resort. If you've had a chance to experience Pandora World of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, you have a pretty good idea of what Imagineers are capable of. And that was a quote from CEO Bob Iger. So essentially, the first sentence right there, it promises to be as amazing as those found at Walt Disney World Resort. It's a little interesting because when we first heard the word experience, a lot of us thought, okay, well, it's going to be maybe like a VR experience, maybe like a walkthrough thing. You know, there's the closure of the Avengers Superstore over in the Stage 17 soundstage over in Hollywoodland. So some people thought they might be bringing, you know, a similar temporary experience for Way of Water that we saw travel the world and in different countries while the movie was in theaters. We thought that maybe we would see that showcase kind of permanently get installed over in Disney California Adventure Park as an experience for people to see and do. So that's what we thought when we saw the word experience. But then when this article came out and it used that sentence saying it promises to be as amazing as those found at Walt Disney World Resort, it doesn't say like to the same scale. It just says as amazing. So that could be, it just gives you the same feeling of immersion that the Walt Disney World does, or could be, it could be meaning scale. We just don't know. I think, and I was actually had a chance to talk to Peter from Ordinary Adventures on this. He thinks, and I think, that this particular usage of word is specifically because they don't want to commit to something, right? They don't want to commit to something and then have to change their mind on it or not promise or not deliver what they actually promised. By saying Avatar experience, it really lets them put kind of whatever they want. You know, they might have had originally planned to build some grandiose immersive themed land for this space, but budgets maybe later on as we get closer to when they're actually starting to break ground might not allow for something like that. And so then they have to regress and only build an experience or an attraction instead of a themed land. So by using the word experience, it lets them say, hey, we're committing to putting some sort of something avatar in Disneyland, but we don't want to commit to exactly what it's called just yet. We're calling it an avatar experience, and we know it's going to be as amazing as some of the things you find at Walt Disney World in their Pandora World of Avatar. So that gives you an idea. So I think that's kind of like, it makes sense when Peter posed it that way. It makes sense because it's like they can commit to the word experience, and it gives them the freedom to not fully commit to what exactly it is they're building. Because if they said, hey, we're building a land, and then later on they didn't do it, people would be upset. And they kind of had some of the backlash with this when it came to some of the things they wanted to put into Epcot and showed us that was coming to Epcot, and then they had to pull back on that when budgets didn't allow that. And then the same thing happened with Avengers Campus, right? We've seen two different versions now of an Avengers Campus attraction that would be coming to that land, and we still don't know if we're actually going to even get any of those. So it kind of all, you know, boils down to what is going to happen with this, what's not going to happen with this. And the reason why I'm even talking about this is because today we actually heard some news about this Avatar experience for the first time since we had first heard about it in February. And then, like I mentioned, in March, when that article that I was just referencing to had come out. So over in Florida, they actually host an annual IAPA Expo, which, for those that don't know, IAPA stands for International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. So it's essentially like the industry side of the theme parks and all the different companies that help build attractions or build ride systems that, you know, Imagineering or some other theme parks might work with to bring their ideas to life. So it's essentially the industry side of it all. And they host their annual expo every year, usually over in Florida. Well, they're doing that again. They kicked off that again over in Orlando, and they had an IAPA Expo luncheon today with Walt Disney Imagineering. It was the Walt Disney Imagineering Lunch and Learn, and user on Twitter, Drew Disney Dude, actually pointed out that during this luncheon, this Lunch and Learn, it was revealed that the Avatar experience would be located specifically at Disney California Adventure Park. So then we saw everyone on Twitter post that Walt Disney Imagineering apparently has confirmed that the Avatar experience would be located at Disney California Adventure Park, and they had given no other information during this luncheon about when we were to expect it, where specifically in Disney California Adventure we could expect it, just that it was coming. And again, this was the first time that we had heard anything about this since February of this year when it was first announced, and we were supposed to hear more details soon, but we haven't since then. Well, the entire Twitter sphere and all of the news outlets really kind of ran crazy with this news, and there was a lot of speculative talk online about where it was going to be in Disney California Adventure. A lot of people were speculating or saying that they could see it be built over in the Hollywood Land area of Disney California Adventure Park, you know, which some people had originally thought would be earmarked for an Avengers Campus expansion. And then there was another whole section or theory put together that the Avengers or the Avatar experience might come to the Grizzly Peak Airfield and Grizzly Peak Recreation areas of Disney California Adventure. So if you think about all the areas in front of immediately the Grand Californian Hotel, so that would include like the Grizzly River Run attraction, the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, Soarin' Over California, or just Soarin' around the world, and then the restaurants and shops and everything there. You know, some of those things might translate really well as far as space is going into an Avatar-themed land. Flight of Passage has a pretty sort of similar ride system to Soarin' around the world. You know, the restaurant Smoke Jumpers Grill is pretty big and could translate very well into its own version of a Satouli canteen, which is the quick service in Pandora, the world of Avatar. Right across the way, there's a shop and a little kind of drink stand that would translate well into like a Pongu Pongu, which has their to-go drinks and different slushies and things that they offer over in Avatar, the world of Pandora. And then they would have the Grizzly River Run attraction, which could sort of be remodeled or remade into its own version of a Navi River Journey, right? That's different from the one in Florida. And then last, leaving the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail being some sort of walkthrough experience that's Pandora themed. So it all made sense when you kind of put it out there, but then you think about the Grand Californian Hotel being in the backdrop, and then it doesn't kind of make sense because you know, the hotel is very themed to California, the arts and crafts movement, architects like Frank Lloyd Wright, Green and Green, and really that's very well anchored with the Redwood theme of Grizzly Recreation Area and the Grizzly Peak and all that stuff. But it doesn't really mesh well with something like Pandora, which is otherworldly and not from Earth. So, you know, there was just a lot of speculative talk, and it continued all throughout the day, and it was very interesting to read and speculate where it might come. However, Scott Goosen, one of my good friends on Twitter and X, he actually got an update from Disneyland officials. They saw him report on this, you know, and he also used the word supposedly. Apparently, like, so that it wasn't like specifically, you know, being called out, but essentially a rep from Disneyland, an official, actually reached out to him to clarify and say, hey, there was actually no announcement made on behalf of Disneyland Resort today at the IAPA Expo in regards to the location of the Avatar experience. And they said it's unclear exactly what was said during the panel, or if someone misspoke or someone misheard, but that Disneyland did not officially comment or say that Disney California Adventure would be the location of this new experience. So we'll have to see, right? We'll have to see kind of where it's going to be. I was actually kind of shocked to see Disney California Adventure as the chosen spot for Pandora World of Avatar. I would have thought Disneyland, in all honesty. And I don't even really think they would utilize the Disneyland Forward spaces for Pandora World of Avatar, although some people might directly go to that. I just felt like it was going to be in a different location, and I didn't think that Disney California Adventure Park would be the better fit for this. And also, if we think about kind of Disneyland's current trend of going back and forward with updates at different parks kind of thing, we're getting confirmations of new things, right? We're getting a new show at the Hyperion Theater potentially soon at one point. And we're also getting a brand new Avengers Campus attraction that's going to be a large-scale e-ticket attraction. So we have some major things already coming to Disney California Adventure Park. So it would make sense that Disneyland would be kind of on the roster after that. We know Tiana's Bayou Adventure is already coming, but that's coming this upcoming year. So we're talking a little bit more further out, right? Because we would imagine that we'll see Avengers Campus stuff happen a little bit sooner, since we already know that's coming, and then potentially this Avatar experience coming after that. So it would make sense that Disneyland is the location for it, but I could also see and the argument of how it could be for Disney California Adventure Park. So it's, again, something we're going to just have to wait and listen for and look out for, because they haven't shared any more news with us, even though they said it would be soon. They haven't shared any news on it just yet, but it was something I wanted to revisit because we had been talking about this before, of course, when it was first announced. A lot of people were speculating kind of what does an experience mean, and I think we all have a good idea that it's probably going to be on a more grander scale, I would imagine if Disney had, you know, perfect budget and everything was greenlit, I think they'd probably want something very similar to what Pandora, the World of Avatar is, because it has proven to be so successful for Disney's Animal Kingdom and has helped drive record attendance at that theme park, whereas in the past it had not. And really, I think they'd love to replicate this in something like Disneyland Resort, and adding to the ability of keeping this a multi-day resort experience for guests who are vacationing, especially with more Disney Vacation Club resorts being added. You know, the new tower, you have villas over at the Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa. They really want Disneyland to become more of a tourist destination. But what do you think about the Avatar experience? Are you still on the band of, hey, Avatar experience is going to be just an experience, a walkthrough thing, something maybe we see over in the former ESPN Zone building or something going into Hollywoodland at Stage 17? I don't think it's going to be grand in scale. If you're on that side of the boat, let me know. Shoot me a DM on social media, or just kind of at me, whatever you want to do, so I can see your response to that. You can also, of course, send me an email to danny@justaskdanny.com. But if you're on the other side of the boat and you think Disney's going to totally go full immersive land with this because it's what they need, let me know too. I'd love to see kind of what your thoughts are. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, I'll actually have a poll in the Spotify version because it lets you do some interactive stuff on it. Where you can vote what you think is more likely is when it comes to this for the Avatar experience. But that wraps up this quick little episode of the 5571. I did actually not only experience the Adventureland Treehouse this past weekend, but I was able to experience Disneyland Park's kickoff to the holiday season, and I'll be experiencing Disney California Adventure Park's kickoff to the holiday season next weekend, as well as the kickoff to Knott's Merry Farm. So if you're interested in kind of getting my thoughts on all the holiday seasons and how they compare, I'm going to be doing a big holiday season episode talking about my favorites, the food options, the shows, etc., all for next week's podcast episode. So get ready for that one. I might have actually a special guest join me for that one too, just to get some other third-party input in it. But I had a really great time doing Disneyland's kickoff to the holiday season. Even though Believe in Holiday Magic Fireworks Spectacular was canceled, it was still a lot of fun. There was still lots to do and tons of food options to try. But we will be going, like I mentioned, to Disney California Adventure Park and then also Knott's Merry Farm as well, too. Now, the Grinchmas over at Universal Studios Hollywood, that doesn't kick off until Thanksgiving weekend. So we've got kind of opening dates happening all throughout the month of November. And then the holiday seasons, at least for Knott's Berry Farm and for Disneyland Resort, continue through January 7th. So they're both going to be ending on the same day. And if you haven't already, please go ahead and subscribe to me on YouTube to get some more visual updates for what's new and what's happening at Disneyland Resort. You can also follow me on Twitter and on X at Just Ask Danny. My YouTube channel is Just Ask Danny as well, too. And then also on Instagram, also as Just Ask Danny. So find me on all the socials that way. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast and you're listening to the first time, if you are interested in updates and planning around your upcoming visits or trips to Disneyland Resort, or if you're just a fan of Disneyland and want to hear the latest news on it all, make sure you're following this podcast, subscribing to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. And like I mentioned, for those that are listening this week on Spotify, I'll have a little poll for you as well to, you know, click your vote for the Avatar experience and kind of what you're leaning to on what you might think it's going to be. But thanks again for listening to this episode, and we'll see you on next week's episode. Thanks again.